Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. I am Gailey, your Chorus Call operator. Welcome and thank you for joining the OPAP conference call to present and discuss the OPAP S.A. second quarter 2019 interim management statements conference call. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Damian Cope, CEO of OPAP S.A. Mr. Cope, please proceed.
Thank you very much, operator, and good morning or good afternoon to everybody. I'm delighted to welcome you to OPAP's Q2 2019 Investor Conference Call. Today we are also joined on the call for the first time by our incoming CFO, Pavel Mucha, who officially starts in his new role on the 1st of October. As you'll be aware, this is the last investor call for our current CFO, Michael Hust. It would therefore be remiss of me not to comment on the huge contribution that he's made during his time with us. Michael was heavily involved in the privatization of the company back in 2013, and since then has been a key part of the significant progress that has been achieved by OPAP. On behalf of everyone at OPAP, I would like to thank him for his commitment and dedication during that time, and we wish him further success in his future career. With that, I'll hand over to Michael himself, who will comment on the quarter's financial results, and I'll then provide you with an update of our business progress and future developments. We'll then answer any questions you may have. Michael, over to you.
Good day, man. Good afternoon to everybody. Starting with macro developments for yet another quarter, most major indicators reported sizable growth year on year, with GDP growing by almost 2% in line with consensus and expectations. Going to the individual KPIs performance, total consumption increased by a bit more than 1%, driven though by increased government spending rather than the subdued household spending, which is still struggling. When it comes to leading economics indicators, economic sentiment and consumer confidence have been improving. Finally, retail sales headline figures trended higher after quite some time, although some pressure was evident in certain sectors such as department stores. Linking the above with our performance. Although it's true that quarter after quarter OPAP has been a clear outperformer, we feel that the fact that our Q2 headline figures reported growth in every line is still quite an achievement. We further believe that OPAP's growth would continue throughout the year as well. Going to the details, GGR increased by 6.5% for the quarter, actually further improving Q1 run rate by 1.5 percentage points. Note that this growth came despite tough year-on-year comparable due to the World Cup in June 2018. It is also worth noting that Q2 performance at the second quarter multi-year high, clearly demonstrating that the company has been successful into addressing the severe economic circumstances over the past couple of years. Equally importantly, gross profit from gaming's operations rose by even higher at 8.6%, providing tangible evidence of a well-thought plan that is bringing margin expansion and a growth of our overall profitability. Going further down the profitability line, EBITDA marked a 24% increase, coming in at 87 million in the second quarter, leading to a 22.7 EBITDA margin, up by an impressive 3.2 percentage point year on year. On top, when adjusting for one-off cost of 2.8 million related to a VSP that ran within the quarter, adjusted EBITDA growth came in at 28%, considerably increasing the run rate of Q1, which was 16% on adjusted level. We clearly think that this kind of growth is supporting our confidence for a meaningful increase for the full year as well. Q2 also depicted beyond any doubt meaningful cost efficiencies evident across the spectrum of all our cost base. IT cost decline continued along the path of the Q1 run rate, lower by 40% year on year. As mentioned in the past, this is a result of the conclusion of our technology transformation, which set aside the material cost savings, is gradually bringing in higher flexibility and self-dependence in our IT projects. Going forward, you could assume that IT cost as an absolute number would stay close to Q2 figures. Marketing costs were also contained in Q2, standing at 16.6 million versus 20.5 in Q2 2018, lower by 19%. Following an increase in Q1, the second quarter's number is supporting our commitment for a full year figure that is expected to hover around 2018 levels, despite the launch of several new projects and initiatives. On the payroll front, the relevant expense reached 22.7 million, higher by 11%, owing solely to termination compensation of 2.8 million. After adjusting for this one-off nature, like-for-like payroll costs were slightly reduced, leading to just a minor increase in the overall H1 numbers. Below the EBITDA line, net profit growth accelerated further, reaching for Q2 higher by 32% year-on-year, on the back of Stoiximan contribution, broadly flat net interest expense of 5.8 million, slightly lower effective tax rate, and despite a higher D&A of 29.4 million. With regards to our investments, cash outflow from investing activities increased to 14.9 million for the first half and is expected to reach around 30 million till the end of the year. Obviously, it's not including the second part of the Stoiximan transaction. CapEx from 2020 onwards should normalize around 20 million, excluding any opportunities that we currently do not foresee. The significant increase of our profitability, together with rather low CapEx, led our net debt position to 362 million, thus shaping a prudent net debt to last 12 months EBITDA ratio of 0.9 times. On the dividend front, we distributed an additional 60 cents per share on the top of already distributed 10 cents last October. Since the distribution introduced the ability of fully optional scrip dividend, please note that the scrip take-up reached 22% of the free float. Going forward, we plan to continue our balanced dividend approach and plan to distribute an interim dividend in the coming quarters. On a separate note, Saska Group, which is OPAP leading shareholder, has launched a voluntary tender offer addressed to all shareholders. The prospectus now is subject to approval by HCMC. While it's officially reported in the prospectus, Saska intention is to keep OPAP listed in the Athens Stock Exchange. Turning to our segments, we are quite pleased with our games performance, which in the most part reported sizable like-for-like growth. Lottery continued its streak of positive quarters, at the same time accelerating the growth rate, which reached 2.7% for the quarter versus 1.6% in Q1. This outcome is mostly a result of Kino outperformance and double-digit growth in Joker. In our eyes, this growth carries more weight when considering the significantly higher number of VLTs and is mostly a result of Kino structural resilience and successful rejuvenation through Kino side bets. On sports betting, although headlines call for minus 5%, the drop has been solely a result of a drop in virtual games. On the contrary, we are satisfied with Stoiximan, as like-for-like comparison, excluding the impact of World Cup, was clearly positive year-on-year. On top, some of Stoiximan individual KPIs, such as live betting and SSBT contribution, have been consistently gaining ground, thus making our offering more competitive and appealing to our players. Staying on sports betting, but turning to Stoiximan, the second part of the acquisition is still pending, waiting regulatory approval. However, our 37.5% participation is already contributing to our financials with an EBITDA benefit of 1.4 million. Stoiximan is on its own generating impressive GGR growth, almost 40% in H1. Coupled with a record high quarterly EBITDA, while active players reached 170,000 in August. As for Hellenic Lotteries, the material Q-on-Q improvement of the drop rate from 10.8% in Q1 to minus 4.3% in Q2 is a result of certain initiatives that continue in Q3 and should further improve the segment picture for the full year. Finally, VLT-wise, Q2 revenues reached 71 million, improving mildly on a quarterly level, at the same time setting a new record high. GGR of the machines that have been operational for the full course of the quarter stood at 40 euros a day. Gaming halls continue to outperform versus OPAP shops, at the same time achieving sustainable returns for the franchisees. Just before passing the word back over to Damien, I would like to take one more minute of your time. This is because, as Damien mentioned, you know, after 6 years as CFO of OPAP, I decided to leave and to seek other business opportunities. going back to 2013 when Emma Delta bought a 33% stake of what at that point was state-controlled entity, we knew that we had to do quite a lot of fix in order to bring OPAP at par with the largest listed companies of our sector. 6 years later, I can say with confidence that we did a lot more than that. As a team, we have fully transformed the company in basically all the fields. I was personally and with all the joy involved in many areas other than finance and helping to navigate through numerous challenges and business decisions such as the Tichyman acquisition that will hopefully shape an even better future. I have genuinely enjoyed my time working at OPAP with all the great, very professional and hardworking colleagues. So I am confident that OPAP will continue its successful path, further solidifying its unique position within both the gaming spectrum and the Greek society. Thank you all as well, which are listening to us, for your patience and cooperation throughout these years. So, Damien, over to you.
Thank you, Mika. So coming back to the results, and these mark the three-year anniversary since we launched our 2020 vision of becoming a world-class gaming entertainment company driven by 8 strategic priorities. So we're therefore now 3/4 of the way through our transformation plan. In the last quarter, Q2, I think we've demonstrated once again how this vision and our long-term plans, supported in turn by a broad range of initiatives and investments, are delivering positive results across the organization, but most notably in our financial performance. While we had no major sports event on which we could rely on to deliver increased traffic to our shops in Q2, with our customers living through the inevitable pre-election uncertainty, we nevertheless demonstrated progress in many areas. So starting first on slide 16 of the presentation deck with our retail network, and you can see the numbers of our new shop openings or shop upgrades increased to over 300 at the end of the first half, which together with what we've achieved in the past couple of years means that about 1/3 of our network of almost 3,900 shops is either completely new or has been upgraded and renovated within the last 3 years. We will carry on with both our program of new shop openings as well as our broader retail excellence program, or REX 2020, throughout 2019, significantly improving player experience through leveraging digital technologies, adding new services, and developing our agents. As a result of these actions, customer satisfaction when visiting an OPAP shop has increased over the past few years, considerably improving our shop's attractiveness as an entertainment destination. We believe that this increase has been one of the main factors behind OPAP's significant outperformance versus the domestic retail sector as a whole, and has led average revenue for new shops to increase by over 20%. Meanwhile, across the whole network, we saw average agent commissions rise by 2% in the first half of the year. Turning now to VLTs on slide 17 and starting with an update on the rollout, where we're now standing at around 20,300 VLTs, as April's ruling from the Council of State had put the rollout of any additional VLTs on hold until relatively recently. However, following a legislative act which gave the relevant regulation the force of law, as well as the subsequent ratification of this act on August the 9th, we're now in a position to continue with the installation of the remaining VLT machines. As we said on the last call, we believe that this interruption was purely a procedural issue, and so we maintain the ongoing planning of our rollout, including the selection of the appropriate locations and negotiating with candidate gaming hall agents and operators. As a result of the aforementioned preparatory work, our aim is to have within October a total of between 22 and 23,000 machines installed and in the field. As a reminder, OPAP has to install all of the 25,000 VLTs by the end of 2019. Our comprehensive planning combined with our past rollout experience, particularly in the last few months of both 2017 and 2018, make us confident that we will achieve this target. Performance-wise, and as you can see on slide 18, we managed to sustain the level of customer registrations despite almost no new locations being opened in Q2. Maintaining monthly actives over 100,000 for yet another quarter was also an important achievement. You'll see that the level of player spend is also consistent at responsible levels of around €29 per visit. On slide 19, you will see that we set another record just with quarterly VLT GGR exceeding 70 million euros and with GGR per VLT per day stable at around 40 euros. And here we continue to see higher average spend in gaming halls compared to our pub stores. During the summer, and shown on slide 20, we'll also launch our first major summer outdoor campaign, which generated considerable interest and had excellent engagement levels, with over 40% of all active customers participating. Over the next few months and in the run-up to the seasonally busy Christmas period, we'll be undertaking further promotional activity, together with the launch of a number of new games, which we believe will maintain high levels of customer engagement. Turning to sports betting, slide 21, we're pleased to report that despite a fall-off in virtuals activity, our core sports betting business continues to perform well, despite the absence of a major event this year. Still on a like-for-like basis, sports betting reported higher numbers in the first half on the back of a constantly increasing percentage of live and SSBT activity, which now account for 41% and 18% of the total turnover, respectively. I'd now just like to provide a brief update on several of our key strategic themes for UpUp this year. The first is entertainment, where during 2019 we've begun to deliver a number of new initiatives, which we believe will further enhance the interest of many of our customers. We've recently started a new weekly TV show called Game Time, where every Friday with invited celebrity guests, we discuss the upcoming weekend sporting events. This is then distributed through our internal agent network and widely across various social media channels. As you also know, we launched the new VLT jackpot product in Q2, and so far we've had over 15,000 lucky winners with prizes from a few hundred euros up to a maximum potential of 100,000 euros. We've also started pilots for two new broadcast services, one a live sports betting channel with content from around the world, and separately a new presenter-led Keno show, where we hope to add some more content and interactivity for our retail customers. Both are still being trialed, but we will continue to develop this video-based type of content in the future. Turning now to online, and we provide updated figures on slides 22 and 23 of our dual strategy approach. Within UpUp, we've had a busy period in the first half of the year, with the first ever online launch in Greece of any kind of lottery product. The launch of Joker Online has generated considerable interest and a notable jump in our active player base. What's also encouraging is that we already have a meaningful number of players who play both sports betting and lottery products. Overall, during Q2, we have monthly average actives of around 30,000 per month, and so far in Q3, numbers are comfortably ahead of that level. As a reminder, our online Joker products are the same game as the one we offer in our shops, and based on ticket sales, the online penetration is currently standing after just a few months at around 3% and has considerable room to grow when taking into account EU benchmarks that on average exceed 10%. Stoiximan 2 is delivering good growth both at GGR and customer levels, and it appears that our initial investment pertaining to the 36.75% of the holding company is doing well. In the first half of 2019, GGR after bonuses reached 103.7 million, with solid growth in all countries of operations and in both verticals, so both sports and gaming. And during Q2, Stoiximan launched their new service in Portugal with early signs that make us cautiously optimistic for the future. In terms of the secondary investment in Stoiximan, we're still waiting for the necessary approvals of the transaction that would increase our share in the Greek and Cypriot operations to 69%. We expect that decision from the authorities should come sooner rather than later and look forward to their ruling. Looking at our new non-gaming activities, as seen on slide 25, Tora's portfolio of services is performing well, with bill payments transactions growing strongly in Q and setting a new record high in July. Our network of certified agents that offer Tora services is exceeding 2,600 shops, coming close to the target of around 2,900 to 3,000 shops. The gradual activation of a higher number of agencies is a necessary element for success, but even more importantly, the brand's awareness increased meaningfully through the launch of a highly successful viral video featuring two well-known Greek soap stars with more than 1.5 million views across all media. It's clear that the bill payment service is gradually becoming a structural part of the overall services offered in a considerable number of our agencies, driving higher footfall into our shops, and we expect this trend will intensify in the last quarter of the year. Going forward, we plan in Q4 to pilot our Tora mobile app, offering a wide range of everyday services coupled with gaming-related options that will supplement our customers' experience. Let me finish with a few words about our CSR program. So far during 2019, we've recruited 10 new small companies and rewarded participating organizations during the Up Up Forward Awards. We've completed 7 sports academies festivals for a total of more than 11,000 children, while OPAP in the Neighborhood program has been useful for more than 15,000 of our fellow citizens. In addition, you'll remember that we launched new works in both children's hospitals in Athens, continuing this highly appreciated initiative. Finally, and particularly for those of you based in Athens, I kindly invite you to attend OPAP's first hosted music event, which will be taking place on Sunday, the 22nd of September, at our Markopolo horse racing venue just outside Athens, and where ticket sales will lead to donations to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. With that, I'm concluding my opening statement. Michal and I are now ready to answer any questions you might have. Thank you for your patience and your attention.
The first question is from the line of Draziotis Stamatis with Eurobank Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello there, and thank you very much for taking my questions. A couple of questions, please. Firstly, in the presentation, you reiterated your focus on this sort of omni-channel ecosystem aimed at improving the player experience and rendering OPAP shops an entertainment destination. How is this strategy progressing? Have you seen any meaningful uptick of traffic in your stores, and what percentage of your betting outlets have been upgraded to offer new elements of in-store customer experience, i.e. refreshments, etc. So that was the first question. And secondly, could you remind us what product enhancement actions you have in the pipeline for the coming quarters, please? For example, online Kino, and also how recent actions targeting VLT customers, such as the SMS campaigns and loyalty offers, have been received so far, please.
Okay. Hi, Stamatis. Thank you. I know omnichannel is a bit of a buzzword. I'm fairly sure I didn't mention it, but I'm happy to touch on all things entertainment. It's something that we talked about, I think, at the start of the year, and as you've seen, it's still relatively early days, so we're piloting 2 different channels in our stores, the game time content is something that we think we can develop in future as a source of unique added value, if you like, pre-match research that we know a lot of our sports betting customers like to undertake. I guess one of the key elements is the VLT jackpot, which is available now to all VLT customers across all machines, and we've certainly seen a lot of interest in that. I would say overall, the feedback from the shops where we are piloting the new video services and for all of the network with the game time content has been very positive indeed. I think the power of video in any kind of entertainment is known the world over, and you've obviously seen that in different industries with Apple Plus and Disney and the other guys going to get into video generally. But we believe we've got a long way to go, but we definitely want to use video as an important element of both the offering and promotion of our gaming products. I think the other part of that first question was around how many of the stores have it. I would say, as I referred to before, you know, we've got about a third of our entire network is now new or renovated. A significant number of those are fully Rex 2020. I know you will have visited some of them yourself. So they have all of the technology, all of the facilities to be able to receive any of this new content. And over time, we want to make any content we create, any new video entertainment channels available to all of our stores. That depends on satellites and connections and things like that. But certainly the good thing is bulk of the CapEx associated, what's required, has already been undertaken in previous years as part of our investment program. And as in terms of specific numbers, it's too early to quantify what we've got, but I would say feedback is good, and we think we're definitely heading in the right direction. Second question, I think, was around product improvement. Specifically, I mean, we've got several in lots of different areas. I think I mentioned new VLT games. There'll be a number of those coming out over the next 3 to 6 months. We have some functionality with our retail sports betting product, where we've just started, and we'll continue to launch a number of new promotional activities, including things that are fairly standard in other markets, things like accumulator insurance, where if you get 4 correct matches out of 5, but you have 1 losing selection, you get a free bet, and things like that. So there'll be a number of those coming out later in the year. We're still looking at our online roadmap, which again is very much subject to what happens with the online law, which I'm sure will be a question that comes from somebody later. Again, maybe getting ahead of that, we're looking forward to the government taking steps to clarify the current situation. And once we're clearer, we'll be clearer about our online product roadmap. But I think even with the products we've got, sports betting and Joker, I think there's a lot more that we can do there. So I think we've got a number of new product improvements coming in lots of different areas, and we expect our customers to enjoy them over the next 3 to 6 months in particular.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Just a follow-up. You mentioned online regulation. Just realistically, do you think that there is a chance that we'll have a proper and holistic, online framework in 2020.
I think that seems more likely than it's felt for a long time. I'm Mr. Cope, not Mr. Mitsotakis. So, and as a new government, they clearly have a very busy agenda. But I think they've made it pretty clear they want to bring an end to this rather unclear situation. So we are pretty confident that there will be a much clearer picture during 2020, certainly by 2020.
Okay, that's great. Thank you so much. And Mikhail, best of luck in your next career step.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Jahan Virendra with Alpha Value. Please go ahead.
Hi, Damien, Mikhail. I have a couple of questions. One is, could you just explain the significant drop in rentals and advertising expenditure? So why do we have a significant drop on a year-on-year basis on these two?
Sorry, just to double check, you said rental and marketing expenses. Is that correct?
Yes, the advertising expenditure, right.
No. Oh, it's like rental is clear, you know, so it's implementation of the new IAS, let's say IFRS 16. And I think we highlighted that the impact on EBITDA level is around 4 million on a half a year basis, which basically moved from direct OPEX from EBITDA, it moved to the depreciation, and that's why rentals dropped, basically. on net income, this basically has zero impact, you know, so in net of through the depreciation and the tax, zero impact. And then with regards to the advertisement, as I said in the opening speech, you know, we are still guiding for the full year advertisement expense somewhere around the level of 2018, you know, so it's just the volatility of the advertisement, it's about the product launches. You know, last year there was the World Cup in the first half, so definitely there was an advertisement campaign connected with the World Cup, and so on and so on. But let's say our guidance for the full year is pretty stable marketing cost.
Okay. And I have another question on the GGR per VLT per day. So now that we are, you know, probably in the last bit of the rollout, because we have less than 20% to be deployed. So I'd like to believe that the current trends are pretty much representative of what we would see at maturity. But then if I look back at the trends in this on a year-on-year basis for at least like the last four or five quarters, we have seen a year-on-year drop in GGR per VLT per day. So like one, what's causing this kind of a trend? And secondly, like what steps can be taken to probably improve that? Because what I see is like once we have the incremental VLT addition stopping, then we would need significant improvement in this metric for the VLT growth to continue. So that's the question on VLTs.
Okay, thanks, I'll take it. So you've seen on slide 19, we've deliberately, we like to sort of remind everybody where we've come from since we started this VLT journey sort of 2.5 years ago. And I guess from that, you can see the trends very clearly. The obvious thing that stands out is Q4 is very strong. We expect that to be the case again this year. As you get to sort of the Christmas period. And I think you should also recognize that we have now had a pretty solid, let's say, consistent base for the last two quarters. So we had, I think, around 19,000 at the end of 2018, and we now have around 20,000, so fairly consistent. So we believe certainly this is the sort of the base for a larger state. I would say, you shouldn't forget that we are a very, very large network, the largest in Europe with our connected jackpot, and by the time we finish, we'll have 25,000. So although there may be some numbers in distant forecasts and spreadsheets, we still think this is a good foundation. But we would also say there's certainly room for further growth. We know that there is still illegal gaming out there that definitely causes us issues. We still think we've got lots of improvements to come in the future, particularly around introducing promotional elements to our games, which we hope to deliver during 2020. We think there's still quite a lot of optimization we can do around the location of our machines. So we're still quietly confident that we can gradually grow the metrics in this business for some time to come. So I perhaps wouldn't be quite so negative as perhaps you implied.
Okay, yeah. So that's really helpful. And just one final one on the incremental stake that OPAP was attempting to buy in stocks in Stihiman Group. And I mean, is there any regulatory tick or progress on that front?
Not that we're able to share with you today. It is where it has been for some time. It's with the authorities. We are very patiently waiting for a decision. As you may or may not be aware, the board of the competition authority in Greece was changed completely. Okay. And so obviously that's caused a bit of a delay, but we will await for the new board to reach their decision, and hopefully that will come sooner than later.
Okay. Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Kourtesis Iakovos with Piraeus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. A couple of questions from my side. You commented on the performance of Joker Online, which seems to go very well in 2018. If you can remind us, what are your plans for additional online offerings in 2020? I think you mentioned in the past about Kino and Lotto. Where do we stand at this moment? Second question has to do with your VLT's performance in during the third quarter. Traditionally, the third quarter is a weak one for VLTs. Would you see that in terms of net drop per VLT per day, do you see an improved performance until now versus the previous year, which was at 38 euros, if I remember well? And in terms of VLTs, what is your feeling about the illegal market? You are in this business for 2 years now. Would you say that since you commenced operation on VLTs, do you see a significant containment of the illegal market? Would you say that things remain the same? Do you have reasons to be optimistic about the illegal market and the how the authorities deal with it? Thank you very much.
So let's start with the first point. So new products online. I think I've touched on this already, actually. We're reviewing the roadmap because, again, it will, could be heavily affected by what comes in the online law. You know, as a long-term aspiration, we expect at some point to offer the products we have exclusive rights to. We expect to offer them online at some point in the future. If I'm honest, our focus for the rest of this year is on optimizing the products we have already, and then 2020 roadmap will depend very much on what it looks like is coming out from the government in terms of the new law. And then on VLTs, I'll probably hand over to you, although as you can probably guess, we're not going to say too much about Q3.
So I think Damian partially answered this question before, but let's say on the Q3 separately, I think we have seen quite good performance in VLT in August and July. So it's I think it's quite promising before the start of the new season, I mean the September, you know, so it was pretty strong 2 months that we have seen in the VLTs. And as Damian mentioned, there is still plenty of things that we want to do in with regards to the performance of the VLTs. And now we are fully focused on finalizing the rollout in 2020. Definitely, there's a lot of levers that we can use, you know, to improve the performance. And then with regards to the illegals, yes, we see, let's say, decrease, I would say, in terms of physical venues in the illegal market, and it's probably the consequence of probably better enforcement of police, better knowledge of all the people in the market about the illegal market, including our work on making and pointing it out. And as well, there's economic pressure coming from the legal competition, let's say our play stores and casinos, which are picking up, I would say, in the last few months as well.
Mr.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Mr. Hadzidakis Manos with Beta Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for the presentation. Just one question from my side. Given that the interest rates environment remains favorable in Greece, are you planning to call back your corporate bond in 2020?
You mean our retail bond, yeah?
Yes.
I think we don't want to comment on this, but of course we are looking into the we are looking into the interest rates and development, and we are looking into what is happening in Europe in general, and absolutely a great improvement of the GGB yields in Greece. You know, so we would need to be considering all the options for the future. Yeah. So okay. I cannot exclude it.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions at this time. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Cope for any closing comments. Thank you.
Thank you very much to everyone for joining us today, and we look forward to talking to you again soon. Thanks. Bye.